Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome to Happy Hour again here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and this guy named Frankenberry, and we're back with another show. So thank you all so much for joining us again this morning. We appreciate you coming back. And now today we are going to talk to a return guest, Shari Leed. And now, Carol, you had mentioned to me before we started recording here that there was something about, an Instagram post that she wrote recently where she helped somebody out?
Yes. Yeah, so Shari is awesome. She's a former litigator. She's turned to a mindset and life coach. She has so much passion for what she does. She's written a number of books, The 50-50 Friendship Flow, Make Your Mess Your Message. Also, her most recent book, Ask Yourself This, which is kind of like a journal prompt. But she's really passionate about helping people realize their full potential. And I follow her on Instagram because she's always full of wisdom and so inspiring. And I saw an example of how she worked with one of her clients and really helped them identify and overcome limiting beliefs and the impact that it had on that person's life. And I thought that would be a really great topic. I think we got all of us have these things running in the background, maybe below the surface, we're not really aware of, that we think are facts about life when maybe it's just a belief that's holding us back. So I'm looking forward to talking with her. She always brings great energy and wisdom.
Okay. And you know what's interesting, and this I'll send your way there, Jonna, is I don't know if this should give you pause or not, but how many guests do we have that are former litigators, defenders, prosecutors, some
current coaches?
Yes, exactly.
Heather Hansen is one too.
Yep. And I'm thinking, Jonna, does that ever like get you thinking?
So first of all, when you say, does it give you pause, you need to spell that P-A-W-S.
Oh, okay. That's right. For the current situation. My bad. Yes.
Number two, I will have no problem telling Shari again that these Heather, Shari, and people like her are my, I look up to them. They're my inspiration because they have decided to get themselves out of the soul crushing world
of law.
Exactly.
And do something that blows their hair back. And you know what? Maybe we can talk about that in terms of limiting beliefs. Maybe overcoming limiting beliefs will have me blowing my hair back. Who knows? We'll see.
You never know. Before you know, maybe you start writing a book right after this show.
That's right. That is right. And right after I confess to you what I'm going to confess to you.
And this is just between us, though, right?
This is just between us.
Okay.
All right. I'm not going to post about it on Facebook because people are going to bash me but there's a new batch. There's a new batch of kittens in town.
How many?
Three.
So that brings the total to eight now, plus the mom and dad?
Wait, hang on. Here's a critical question. Where, pray tell, are the new three right now?
Right now, they are under the deck.
Okay.
Not in the bed, not in the house. They are under the deck. That's where they are living, like all of the other batches.
Right. That is the first step.
Right.
From out of the halfway house that is mom.
Right. And I've made a decision, and I can only talk about this to the few of you, and I can't talk about it with my parents because I'm living my double life. But I have decided that with this batch, I am going to do something different. I am going to catch them because that's a responsible thing to do. But I am going directly to a shelter. I am dropping them off and I am not looking back. That is what I have to do, you guys.
With the new ones.
Yes.
Okay.
Get mommy.
Yeah.
And then I got to get her. I got to get her fixed. But it's so hard because I know this sounds easy and everybody's going to scream at me, get her fixed, get her fixed. But when you have a cat that's in the wild who does nothing but get pregnant, the timing is very difficult.
Yeah.
Right? Because once she has babies, I can't take her away from the babies until they can fend for themselves. And it's not like I have no job, I could just, hang on, let me just catch her today. She'll go right in this trap here and I'll just get it all done. Like, it doesn't work that way. So this is becoming very stressful.
That's definitely where you get some hints from the folks at the shelter. You know, you ask more detailed questions and maybe even ask them for some assistance.
Well, and that's what I wanted to know. Like, what can they do? Can somebody come to my house with a trap and pack a lunch and sit here all day and get these little guys? Like, I would pay good money for that, just for the peace of mind.
Well,
right. That's not in the trap and scared and stressed out for 8 hours while you're at work.
Right. And, you know, you can you can certainly ask the question, and you do have the ability to donate some money. So, you know, they might be willing to do something like that. You never know.
There might be volunteers in the area, because there's a lot of people, John, for real, that are passionate about this, about capturing strays and getting them spayed or neutered to help prevent the situation you have right now. So there very likely may be volunteers who will help to set the trap and check traps. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Well, then I think that's the route I'm going to have to take, like I said, because I have a problem in that. So kind of on a funny note, Punky has brought up these new, only the last couple of days, she's brought up this new batch of kittens from under the deck to on top of the deck. And ironically or coincidentally, so I've been on this marathon doing a ton of TV for a very notable trial that's happening in Manhattan. And sometimes I'm doing the TV from home for hours, glued to my Skype. And she decided to bring up these kittens. So I'm talking about this very serious, weighty topic. And these little fur balls are in my peripheral vision hopping around. And I'm like, oh, look at the little. And then I have to get back and act like a tough chick on TV. Just absolutely killing me, because here's my problem. Like, if I go anywhere near them, if I have any interaction with them, I'm going to fall in love with them. And I cannot have, I've got five cats living under my spare bed. Well, they're not under it so much anymore. I can't do even one more, but my heart's like, oh,
no, I get it.
Well, I think at this particular point, Jonna, and with everything else you've said, I think you'd be okay, even if you did meet them. You know, I mean, at least you're going to help get them acclimated to humans before you take them somewhere else. I think you'd be okay with this. I think surprisingly so, even though what you're saying right now is certainly a thing, you'd be all right, because you would be thinking about the five that are underneath your bed, and you would be thinking about these new ones, these three, getting fantastic new homes.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's the other thing.
Well, like, there aren't any fantastic new homes out there, or already you're hedging.
I kind of have this weird vision of myself, right? Like, I'm behind a desk and I've got a long line of potential people who want little brand new furry kittens. And I have to interview them one by one. And I'm going to ask them really hard questions. And then I'm going to throw them out of my office. Like, get out. Not good enough. Next. Like, and then that's never going to stop. That's going to take me like a few months. And by that time, now I'm totally invested in this new batch of kittens, and I've fallen in love with them. And before you know it, there's like 8, 12, 16, and they're going to come and arrest me. Something's really wrong.
Okay, now, what Carol and I want you to do first off is take a breath, lady. Okay? All right, breathe. Okay, you got that down? Okay, because we need that to happen for this whole thing to continue. Now, when it comes to the kittens here, no, that's what you leave it up to the shelter for. They're the experts. They're the ones that
they have the protocols.
Yes, yep. They do the vetting. They find the right homes for these animals, so you don't have an issue there.
Are you sure?
Jonna, don't ask dumb questions like that. Of course I'm sure, and you're sure as well. You just don't want to be.
I would like to build a giant catio. Like, if I could just build a giant catio in my yard and have them all live there safely, kind of outdoors, that I'm not indoors under my bed, that would be nice. But
and just have the big tubs of ice cream delivered directly to your house. There you go. So you never have to leave. Fine. Perfect.
So yeah, you're going to call Davina and Kristen from Small Town Potential and have to come build your catio. Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, speaking of them, I reached out and I told them, Carol, that you had checked out. So we're talking about the guests that we had on our show a week or two ago, our little local HGTV stars. And I told them that we're going to plan a girls' night and go visit their bar. And she said, please do. And please let us know. And they'll come visit.
Oh, fun. That'll be fun. Good night, Kenny's.
Yeah.
Yes. That is a great name for a bar.
which is
I popped my head in a week or so ago just to take a look at it. It's very cool inside. Looks very nice.
So, yeah, I think that will be fun. Maybe I'll bring a cat or two with me.
like a cat cafe.
Yes, on leashes. Yeah.
I could open a cat cafe now with all the cats around here. And just one more note on that. It's very, very funny because this new batch, there are three. And two of them are mini Punky's the mother. Two of them are spitting images of her. And one is a spitting image of the dad. So they, she's got a wide variety of kitten aesthetic.
And I just like how she has already gotten into the rhythm of the Jonna house. Like, all right, under the porch is first, under the patio is first. Yeah. Yes, we'll let them do their little thing here for a week, so maybe. And now it's time to bring them upstairs to that lady, because she's got food. Now, with all the new kittens, by the way, now I called him just jokingly in a post that I replied to yours of, how is Biggie Bowser, the paper plate eater, the dog from somewhere around the neighborhood, doing with all the cats?
Oh, so this is interesting. So Biggie Bowser, who I thought was a male dog, you know, when you can't really tell, you just look and you're like, well, this dog has male energy or this dog has female energy. Biggie Bowser is a female.
Okay, and well, there goes that name change.
And her name is Maya.
There you go. Okay.
And I know her mama. I did not know that she belonged to the friend of mine who contacted me and said, hey, that's my dog. But I'll give you a hint. Maya is the sister of Blue, who is the other big dog that visited me not that long ago. Remember Blue? He had big blue eyes. He's like a husky kind of dog. Do you remember that post?
Sort of.
I didn't see that one.
He came to this. Oh, he's so big. And I love, it's either husky or Malamute. To me, they kind of look the same. He came over at night and he just laid flat on his belly, all like 120 pounds of him on my deck. Well, anyway, so he lives in the same house with Maya. So apparently Blue must have said, hey, when you escape, just had a couple doors.
The word's getting out.
Yeah, word's out.
Have the raccoons been around? You haven't mentioned those. And I would think that the cat food would attract them.
Yeah. So there is, interestingly, there's only one little raccoon. And the little raccoon does seem to have a scar on its back. I don't know if you guys remember a while back, there was a raccoon that had a major, major injury on the nape of its neck. And that's healed. I can still see a little ring of weird fur there. But he or she comes around, minds its own business, and then, you know, eats the leftover cat food and then heads out all by his lonesome.
Remember when you had the really aggressive raccoons that were hanging around that, like, tore down your string lights and trash your furniture?
That was the first raccoon year. That was the very first year that raccoons started coming. And they broke. That was so weird. They broke all my string lights outside because in the light bulbs were bugs. And I guess they were trying to get to the bugs.
Oh.
Trashed them all, right? You were here. I thought somebody came and robbed me. My furniture was all over the place. But then upon closer inspection, I had those little telltale raccoon footprints, handprints, all over everything.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's when I decided to get rid of that kind of furniture. Yeah. They were mischief makers. And there have been times when around here, sometimes there had been seven raccoons.
Gosh.
That's a lot when you're alone in a house, separated.
Yeah, I wonder where they all went.
I know. Well, you know, when you live on the streets, they probably don't, I don't know. I mean, they get hit by cars. I don't know what happens to them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, around here, I used to feed them marshmallows. They love those. They'd stand on their back legs and entertain me.
Yeah. Possums and skunks too?
Possums. I have a possum that comes around every once in a while. One time on the deck, there was a possum, a skunk, and a raccoon all eating leftover cat food at the same time.
Wow.
I was like, a possum, a skunk, and a raccoon walking to a bar.
I was just going to say the same thing. There you go. The beginnings of a joke. Nice.
I know. And I know it's bad. That's why I can't really talk about it except with you two, because people get mad. Don't leave the food out. But I really, at this point, I leave the food out for the cats. They're the most important things to me. So I do what I do. If you don't like it, you know, sue me.
And you know a lawyer.
Right. That's right. You do. You know a lawyer, and you haven't given up lawyering just yet for anything else.
No, I have not. So it's going to be interesting that so at some point this weekend, and that's the other thing, you know, sometimes I can only catch these cats on a weekend, and that's not always the easiest time to get medical care for them. You know, it's a whole thing.
Right. Well, that doesn't mean you can't make, now, excuse me for saying it, even entertaining the thought, God forbid, you could always make a phone call to the shelter.
What?
I know.
Get on the phone?
I know.
Call someone?
Dial 11 numbers. I know. Dial 11 numbers and hear them say, this is Sherry from whatever shelter, and then ask questions. Introduce yourself.
Wow.
And you wouldn't have to wait till the weekend and have 5 days go by with you worrying.
Yeah.
Carol, don't you condone this?
I'm not. I know. Because I'm right there with you.
Talk on the phone. They shouldn't even make phones that talk anymore. We don't need to talk on a phone. We have text. We have this.
Email.
Now, Jonna, now look, I understand. All right, look, you and Carol drive nice brand spanking new vehicles, or at least close to brand spanking new. And my car, the most recent one I have now because of the accident, and I had to get something new, is a 2013. Now, to me, that's freaking new. Okay. And it's all clean and shiny and everything else. And you know what? I accidentally hit the phone icon button on the steering wheel only to discover I could do all Bluetoothy stuff or Bluetoothy or whatever it is, eartooth, whatever the hell they call that thing, you know, and I could actually talk in the car on my phone, like dial it from my steering wheel.
Cool.
Well, not for my sister. She's kind of grown tired of it by now because she's the only person I really make any phone calls to. But I had called her quite a number of times just because it's cool.
Don't you even think about it. Do not even think about it.
I have thought about calling you from my car, lady, just because it would be funny.
You will go right into voicemail.
And I will leave you a message that tries to make you feel guilty when I say, oh, you just took all the fun out of my car phone call, lady.
John, I'm curious, what does your outgoing message say when somebody calls you and you don't answer?
It says, call my office.
And talk to somebody else.
And don't expect a return call from me.
Call my office. I pay people to talk on the phone for me. Go do that.
That's right. I delegate because I am the boss.
I don't know why I hate. You know what'll happen? Hopefully, God willing, someday I'll be like 85, and I'll be bored, and I'll be like, yeah, I just wish I could talk to people on the phone, and then I'm just gonna call everybody I know all the time, and everybody's gonna put me into voicemail. That's the cruelty of it. That's the karma that's waiting for me.
Yes,
you know what's funny when I think about it, Shauna? Maybe it's the same. I mean, you didn't have siblings in your house, but. But growing up, when we had a corded phone attached to the wall with a rotary dial, I know I'm dating myself, and that phone would ring, and I have two sisters, we would just like tear from wherever we were and race to answer it, not even knowing who it was.
Never knowing who it was.
Yep, I know. Same thing here.
How weird is that? Can you imagine how different now today?
Yeah. And you know, my mother was the same way, and I knew she would be standing in the kitchen because I had that cord wrapped around the doorway to the stairs up to the other bedrooms, and I would close the door, and I would be sitting on the stairwell. And I know my mother was tapping her foot in the kitchen going, I hate when he has a girlfriend. You know,
so we did the same thing, Frankenberry, except we stretched it down to sit on the basement stairs. And then my father ended up having to tie a rope from the wall console to the handheld because we would stretch the crap out of the cord. So he tethered us.
That's right. And closing a door on it really didn't help either. Stephen, why is there a crack in the cord? No idea, Ma.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm sure I told you.
Ah, good times.
My father, you know, back when you had those rotary phones, somebody else could pick up another rotary phone in your house and listen to your whole conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
If they did it quietly, because you could still hear the click if they picked up the phone too loudly.
Right.
That's why you got to put your finger on the thing, put the phone up to your ear.
That's right.
Lift up.
That's right.
Well, that's what you would do if you were eavesdropping. But in my household, because I was an only child, whenever I was talking to a boy on the phone and somehow my father would know, he would, in the middle of my conversation, pick up an extension and say, Jonna, Jonna, time to clean the toilet. Just to embarrass the crap out of me, which worked every time.
I'm sure it did.
And that's probably why I hate talking on the phone. See? Boom! Baggage. That's my baggage. That's my limiting belief.
Oh, you guys. I have to. Oh, she dropped it.
Yeah, she did. And you guys.
It's hot.
You guys missed my drop, though, didn't you?
I did.
You did.
You did? So I have to tell. I have to tell. When I said, Jonna, that's right. You're still a lawyer. You haven't changed your profession just yet.
Wow. So this is like a goal with an assist in soccer. Like, oh man, well done, team. Okay. Coming up after the break, we are going to talk with Sherry Lead. She is the author of multiple books. She's a former litigator turned mindset and life coach. She's awesome. She's always brilliant, brings great energy and attitude. And she's going to talk to us about identifying and overcoming limiting beliefs that might be holding you back in life.
All right. That sounds good. We have return guest Sherry Lead on the way. So please stick around with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci and me. We'll be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again here, everyone, to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And it is time now to get to our guest. And we have a return guest today. She's been with us before here at Happy Hour. And Sherry Lead, it's nice to have you back.
This is my favorite Happy Hour. Believe it or not.
Well, we always love when you join us. You always bring great energy and great insight. So if you have missed her before on the show, Sherry Lead, she's a former litigator turned mindset and life coach. Jonna is jealous of that. She specializes in guiding clients who feel trapped in stagnation, empowering them to sculpt the life of their dreams. She is a renowned friendship expert and national speaker. She's been all over major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. She was featured on the Today Show. She's the author of the Friendship Series, which includes now 3 books, The 50-50 Friendship Flow, Make Your Mess Your Message, and Ask Yourself This. She's currently working on her 4th book, which we want to talk about. And I think you mentioned that, Sherry, the last time you were with us, that chronicles your journey across all 50 states, meeting with 50 different women. But today, Sherry is here to talk to us about identifying and taking steps to overcome limiting beliefs. These things that we have operating, it's like a bug in our operating system that's like below the surface that we want to get certain results and we're not. And maybe we take something in our lives as fact when really it's just a limiting belief. So Sherry is the perfect one to help us with that. So welcome back to Happy Hour, Sherry.
Thank you. This is one of my favorite topics, so I'm excited to dive in.
So I know you mentioned this before, how long ago did you make the jump from being a litigator to a life coach? Because I admire the courage that takes to leave something that you invested so much in to become established as, and then have the courage to say, that's not my passion, this is, and I'm going this way. So how long, and I would just want to know a little bit about that mental process to make that big change.
Sure. Well, the change kind of happened to me in a way. It's called parenthood.
And
I practiced actively for maybe 15 years or so as a litigator. And we adopted our daughter from China. And 2 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. So I found myself with 2 kids. And I was actively practicing still. And it wasn't a smooth pregnancy. But we had 2 kids. And we ended up finding out that our daughter, who we adopted, had a few special needs, a few neurological issues. And so I ended up staying home. And I got to tell you, that was insane, unprepared mind shift change. I wasn't prepared for it. And it was very different being a stay-at-home mom and going to playgroups versus going into the courtroom.
Yeah, wow. But you know, life is funny like that. Sometimes it upends us. Because it maybe life or the universe knows our direction better than we do. So it puts that in front of us and kind of forces us to do that.
I think the universe has an insane sense of humor. I could just picture the universe kind of laughing at me when they saw me at those playgroups trying to navigate it like I would a courtroom. And if you think clients and jurors are hard, try working with a bunch of preschooler kids. I mean, that's a hard audience.
Oh my goodness. So Sherry, this is an important topic because I think we all at a very young age, with the best of intentions being around adults who are trying to guide us and things that we experienced, have adopted these things, these beliefs that we believe are fact, when maybe those beliefs served us as children, but now as adults they don't, and they're holding us back. So maybe get into a little bit about how we do get these limiting beliefs, and then how do we start uncovering them?
Sure. And you hit the nail on the head right there. That is exactly what it is. We develop these beliefs as children, as teenagers, and these beliefs that we have about ourselves, they work for us then. You know, we develop them usually to protect ourselves. And what we don't realize is as we get older, we oftentimes don't need those tools in place. And those tools that used to protect ourselves, that used to protect us from maybe being embarrassed in school, being embarrassed in front of peers, these safety pieces, quote unquote, that we put into place, we no longer need as adults. And in fact, then a lot of times they start to work against us and are the things that hold us back.
So we all deal with this. But how do we begin identifying what they are? How do we begin uncover? There has to be a process to start saying, okay, here's where you might have an issue that once you realize it could have a massive impact on your enjoyment of life and your achievement.
Absolutely. And if, for example, you ask your, you know, when you have these, I'll give you a simple example here. And this is a little silly, but this is a really concrete example. This past winter, it snowed here. I'm over in the Seattle area and it snowed here. And we now are getting snow regularly, but we didn't so much a few years ago or when I was growing up. So I'm not the best snow driver. That being said, I used to drive through the snow quite a bit. You know, I was really proud of my ability as a Seattleite to drive through the snow. One year, I spun out on the snow, and it was a one-car accident, but it was scary. And from that one accident, it was just property damage. I actually wasn't hurt too bad. It was a little neck issue. But anyway, because of that one accident, despite the years I drove in the snow, I decided I can't drive in the snow. I'm not a good snow driver. Mm-hmm. This past winter, I was home and I was hungry. There was snow on the ground. And it wasn't actually a lot. I mean, from where you guys are, you would laugh at the amount of snow that I was afraid to drive in at the time. And I thought to myself, okay, all those times I drove in the snow, and that one time where I probably was a little careless, I spun out and decided that I'm not a good snow driver. I asked myself, is that true? So when you have these limiting beliefs, question, is that true? And is that true? Just because it happened in the past doesn't mean it's going to happen again and again. The answer was no. And thank God, I needed food. Hunger won over. And I told myself, you know, I have this belief and it's holding me back. And so I got into my car, I went and I got my Subway sandwich. I was so happy. I came home. And that's a little bit of a silly example, but you know, this happens in our everyday life where we have this belief, like maybe we need to work really hard, otherwise it's not worth it. Things can't come easy. And therefore, we take the harder path rather than the easier path. And that was something that we were raised with because we were raised with this work ethic or something like that. And then we ask ourselves, is that in fact true? Does everything have to come, you know, do we have to always take the hard path? Answer might be probably no. And then you can move on to, okay, what can I do? Let it be easy. And that alone could take you out of maybe paralysis by analysis.
And you know what, Sherry, I've got to say, I don't don't think that's a silly story at all, because I know if I was one of your clients and I was going to get some help from you coach-wise, life coach-wise, if I had the carrot of a Subway sandwich at the end of you convincing me to get over my crap, I would be a happy dude.
Yeah. And trust me, if at that point in time, if like Taco Bell was closer, I would have probably gotten in my car even quicker.
But Sherry, you know, that sort of begs the question that one of the things that helps compel us out of our limiting beliefs is the carrot, or the why, sometimes we call it. So you were very motivated because you were starving, and I totally relate to that. I can relate to that right now. So how important is it to help, you know, pull yourself out of your limiting beliefs by getting in touch with what you really want?
100%. I guarantee you, every client I work with, and this is male or female, all of the time, the person usually, when they're trying to figure out, people come to me when they feel like they need to do something. A lot of times they don't know what it is, or something's keeping them stuck, and they have all these reasons why they cannot, you know, take that first step forward. And it always comes down to, you know, when I ask, why is that? They'll say some belief that they have. And I ask simply, is that true? Is that true now? And they think about it. And a lot of times it's because they're living in the past with this belief. And they're like, well, no, it's not true now. And I ask them, okay, how can you rewrite that belief into a sentence that is true now?
Ooh, because that sounds like that would be the key to every single problem. Like, do you have an example of what that would look like for people like me who are like, huh.
Yeah, you know, for example, this those women. So I know I posted on Instagram, I worked with this amazing athlete. Her name is Rose Wetzel. She was an American Ninja Warrior athlete, Spartan Olympic trials. I mean, this amazing athlete. And she told me this story. She grew up in this family that, you know, work ethic. I forget how many kids were in her family, but it was a lot of kids. It was like 7, 8, 9, you know, a big, big family. And she was one of the younger ones. And she grew up with the idea, because everyone kind of was on their own, especially with her being one of the younger kids, that if she wanted attention, if she wanted to succeed, if she wanted to win her races, she needed to work really hard, and she trains really hard. And so when something seems easy, or there's an easy step, what we were working with is, because she has this whole big picture, and she was an obstacle racer. So she was really good at knowing and being confident that when she reached an obstacle, she knew that, because of past experience, she knew that she could handle the obstacle, whatever it was. But that being said, she knew that there were obstacles. She knew she had to plan for obstacles and train really hard so she could handle those obstacles when they came. That works great in her race career, but when, you know, she's adding speeching, adding being a keynote speaker to her resume right now, and trying to figure out how that fits in. And that's what we were working on. And some of the things for her, I mean, with this addition to her career, are somewhat easy. I mean, she already has this brand, but she was experiencing paralysis by analysis. I'm sharing this with you because she did say I could share this publicly.
Right.
But she was experiencing paralysis by analysis because she was trying to figure out, you know, all the obstacles that could be before her, and making it harder than what maybe it needs to be. Actually, she's making it way harder than what it needs to be. And as we were working together, we uncovered that because she had this belief that it's not worth it unless she worked for it, that rewriting that belief just simply, is that true? No, there are a lot of things that are worthwhile that sometimes come easy. And, you know, I've already created this brand, or who I am, through my athletic endeavors. And speaking is just an and part of it, A-N-D, as opposed to an or part of it. And that's where it was. You know, she was making this kind of an or. I'm an athlete here on the field, or I'm a speaker. And so I'm recreating everything as a speaker. But recreating the belief system that this is an and, this is also a part of you, and it can be easier. You know, what's a game changer?
That's amazing, because we look at from the outside and you think, oh my gosh, she's accomplished all these great things. What kind of help could she possibly need? But it makes sense that her whole mindset and belief was things that are worth accomplishing are difficult. And
yes,
you helped her realize that's not always the case.
Right. And I even an example from my own life right now. So I'm actually going through a divorce after 26 years. And so getting married at such a young age and ending up staying home to take care of the kids, you know, I realized I had this mindset that I'm not the breadwinner. You know, I'm not the one I want to bring in money, and it was giving me anxiety. And there's no reason why there actually is no reason why I should believe that I cannot be my own, you know, breadwinner and be financially okay. But I had this mindset that was giving me anxiety. And so I personally took a step back and looked at that and said, is that true? And I looked at my accomplishments, how hard I work in my current career, and said, hey, no, that's not true. And honestly, I felt such a relief just rewriting that belief that I had sitting in my head, just because for so many years, this is how our family worked. But that didn't mean that that belief system I carried was necessarily true. And just rewriting that for me has made it so I could move forward. I've seen a lot of opportunity ahead that I wouldn't have seen if I had sat in that belief that was not true.
So Sherry, do you think, so if you simplified the process of identifying and overcoming a limiting belief, would it start with, okay, where am I possibly less than satisfied in my life? And let's flip that to, what is it that I want? Is there something I want to accomplish or be or experience? Then maybe make a list of like what stands in my way, and then start one by one of all the things that you think stand in your way, questioning, is that true?
Yes. And it actually starts, and then as you do this practice, it starts to happen automatically because you start to notice these things. And it's when you feel stuck, when you feel like, oh, shoot, this is too hard, or you're feeling the angst, like the angst I was feeling either, you know, through going through a life transition or even driving to get food in the snow, when you feel like you're stuck and that angst, that's when you say, okay, why do I feel stuck? What do I believe here? And then ask yourself, is that true? Then, well, if that's not true, what is true? And it just is one simple sentence. A lot of times it's just changing one or two words. And then you go, okay, that is the truth for where I am now. And you'll be able to see where these limiting beliefs came from. Most likely, you know, something from your childhood. And it was, again, these are tools that we use to protect ourselves. As we get through to adulthood and we don't need these tools, it's time to say, okay, thank you very much for protecting me. I don't need you anymore. I'm ready to move forward. And this is who I am now. And as you do this and you can start, like you said, making a list and writing things down. But as you start this practice, it just starts to happen automatically. Every time you get stuck, you start to ask yourself these questions and do this self-talk.
You could do that every day. Like, even if you weren't aware of the problem, of a particular problem, though I'm sure if you sit and you think about it, we could all come up with some problem or problems that we have. But if you just, like, at any moment took a portion of your life and said, is this true? You know, something that, like Carol said, you're not 100% happy with, and just randomly do that analysis, almost like your own personal sort of meditation or a little way to start your day, it could probably be life-changing.
Oh, I think it is. And I honestly think it's even good in relationships, you know, when you're frustrated because your partner's not doing something that you expect them to do, and you're upset with what they're not doing or what they did, you know, ask yourself, could I just, you know, take out the garbage or whatever it is, you know, walk the dogs. And it's like, why, you know, yes, I can. You know, it's by choice. And do I have that power? Yes. And just little things like that. I know, you could call it mindset change, limiting beliefs. You can call it wearing rose-tinted glasses. Whatever you want to name it, it's really about seeing opportunity, changing your perspective, and making it so you don't feel stuck. Because I think that's one of the worst feelings to have, is feeling stuck and not empowered.
It's got to be incredibly rewarding for you, Sherry, not only when you apply the knowledge that you've gained as a mindset and life coach to your own life, but when you really, because stuck is an awful feeling. It's completely disempowering. It's, you know, a sense of hopelessness. And when you turn that light on for someone or guide them, actually, because they have all the answers they need, you're just helping ask the right questions so they can get to where they need to get. But that has to be an incredible feeling when you take that burden, that stuckness, that weight off of somebody, and they're like, they're empowered and excited about their lives. I can't imagine what that feels like.
It is. And it's very common. I mean, I don't go around making people cry, but it's very common during these coaching sessions, especially, you know, the first one or two, for somebody to show emotion, because it's like a release. It's almost like they are giving their child self, their teenage self, their young adult self, permission to let go and really embrace their uniqueness and embrace all these things that they may have thought before were flaws or made them weird or different. It's such a release to have that permission, to give yourself that permission.
I'm thinking of certain things like, I know we have to wrap up here soon, but going back to the limiting belief portion of this for a minute, a limiting belief could actually happen in an instant. It's not something that I mean, can't it, like, you know, one day one thing happens to you, like your car accident, for example, or you're made to feel stupid when you raise your hand in third grade, or, you know, somebody calls you ugly, whatever, and then in that instant you never go back to how you felt before that thing happened.
Yes. Yeah. And really quick, because, you know, I know you're an attorney, Joanna, and I, you know, for a while when I was doing trials, I had a trial where I really stumbled. Like I got nervous. I felt it in my body. And from that moment, despite the prior, you know, times I'd been in court, I started to get nervous when I publicly spoke. So actually, when I stopped practicing law, I realized this issue of me being nervous when public speaking was holding me back from doing what I wanted to do. I signed up for a stand-up comedy class. And, you know, it was three classes. I wrote my own bit, did my five-minute spiel. It was supposed to be three, but I went over. But I did my five-minute spiel in front of 250 people at the iconic Market Theater in Seattle. It was such a good experience. And granted, I filled the audience with my friends. But it was such a good experience. It was such a good experience that changed my belief system in I'm not a great speaker. I'm not a good public speaker. And I stopped getting nervous because I changed my experience from that one terrible one that ruined everything for me to I wrote my own narrative by redoing it in a comfortable environment and changing that into a good experience for myself.
I'm so glad you said that, because I have an attorney that works for me right now who's been an attorney for a little while, but she hasn't done a whole lot of trials. And so I work with her and she comes and she sits with me when I do them. But there's an opportunity for her to do a trial now that's fairly simple. It'll be really good for her to do. And she's very, very nervous about it because she's a perfectionist and she wants to do a good job. And my answer to that is, you know, I'm not sitting with you on this one. I just put my foot on her butt and say, get out there and go do it. You got this. Do it. And I'm sure she's hating every minute of it, but it's tough love. It's tough love, you guys.
Yeah. And if it doesn't go well, just put her at amateur night. That's the sound of comedy club. I'm sure she'd love that.
Just, Jonna, that's funny.
Jonna, make sure you're the boss, Jonna. So make sure that everybody that you that work for you is in the audience for her comedy bit.
That's right.
Sherry, we always love when you take the time to talk with us. You're warm, you're engaging, you really care about making a difference. You're brilliant, and we just always love having you here. We're wrapping up here with Sherry Lead. She is a former litigator turned mindset and life coach, and she's the author of The 50-50 Friendship Flow, Make Your Mess Your Message, and Ask Yourself This. Sherry, where can people, if they want to follow your insight, learn more about you, maybe work with you as a coach, how do they find you?
They could look up my name, would be the easiest, Sherry Lead, SHARILEID, or my website is animperfectlyperfectlife.com.
Love that.
Awesome. Sherry, thank you so much for all that you do and for taking the time to talk with us and our listeners.
Yes, thank you again.
All right,
thank
Sherry.
You.
Yes, Sherry, thank you very much for joining us. And I hope, by the way, for all those folks that you had in the audience, all your friends, for anyone that wasn't a friend, I hope you at least made that part of your five-minute routine to let the rest of the audience know that they're supposed to laugh with all your friends.
It was a smart audience. They played right along.
There you go. All right, Sherry, thank you so much. And we're not done with Happy Hour just yet, so please stick around. We'll be right back with more with Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci and this guy.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time. It's Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci here. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
Jonna, are you doing it again? Second week in a row? Trying to sound sexy or something?
No, I ain't trying.
I just is. That's all. Now get out of my face. but anyway, Sherry Lead, it was nice to catch back up with her. We haven't talked to her in a little while, but she is still continuing to do good work.
She is, and she's a good person too. So I'll give you an example. When my latest book came out, 21 Ways to Raise Your Vibe in 21 Days, and I asked her to give me a review, she wrote a very thoughtful review and bought the audio and bought the physical book. Like, she's just one of those people that really gives a lot in life. And she's a class act.
Back the truck up. You put that in audio and I didn't know.
No, I'm sorry. Mistaken. It must have been Hello Beautiful, because you're right. 21 Days is not on. No, it's more because it's more like a workbook journal thing. So it wouldn't be suited for audio. But
Right. And for the audience, by the way, if you were listening earlier, there are two things that Jonna does not do. One, she does not. She does not make phone calls, and she does not actually read physical words on paper except for her law stuff. And then she gets people that she pays for to do it for her anyway.
Not a bad gig, man.
Yeah, really.
I know. You can't multitask when you're reading a book.
You're not supposed to.
Well, maybe you can, and maybe that's a limiting belief of yours. Maybe it's just a limiting belief that you need to live your life in secret with five cats.
And that's right. That's right. Just don't try to do this this multitasking with reading a book while, say, driving.
Can you please mark this down? May 14th, 2024, Curly Pesky gave us our very first post interview Sagu. So now we had pre-interview Sagu, post-interview Sagu. That's what you just did there. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay.
I aim to please.
All over the place, Curly. Sagu'd all over the place.
So just be careful, Jonna, because you know what might happen in the future is that even though there isn't an audio version and it's more of a workbook, Carol just might come over to your house every day for 21 days and read you out loud that particular workbook section and make you do homework or make you do busy work, you know, like fill in the paper or whatever would have
to be.
Well, not busy work. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, do the work right there. It's class.
The sequel to that book would be 21 Ways to Raise Your Vibe in 21 Days with 21 Bottles of Wine. That's how that would
Okay. Well, listen, Sherry Lee, you have led us into a place that we just need to escape from and just get out of now. All right. We're going to cut our losses and we're going to go before we say anything dumb. We've got more Happy Hour coming to you next week with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself and Happy Hour. Right here. So please tune in again then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.